Welcome back, folks. This is Pádraic, your host of the Humble Coach Podcast. I'm joined today by a fantastic coach who has had a huge amount of experience as both an athlete and as a coach at the very, very highest level. Her name is Claire McGlynn. Claire, thanks for joining me.
Thank you for having me. Hello.
No problem. So for those people who don't, I think a lot of people in especially in the CrossFit community in Ireland and in the weightlifting and athletics community in Ireland will be quite aware of who you are. But for those who do not, could you give us a little bit of a background on both your athletic kind of career over the last number of years and also your coaching? Just a bit of a snippet there, if you can.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm from Dublin, born and bred in Dublin, even though my parents are from Donegal, so I'm a bit of a mongrel. I was born around here, was always mad into sport and had athletics when I was a kid. So, first and foremost, I was a sprinter. I started in the kind of 100 and 200 metres, as most people do, and then I developed onto 400 metres, which, for those of you who don't know what that is, that's one lap of the track, so 400 metres sprinting. So I did that from when I was maybe started, joined the club when I was 10, and then did that all the way through until I was 22, and played basketball and stuff in school, and like dabbled in there amongst other sports as well. So in athletics then, I got injured when I was, it was 2008, the 28th of October, I tore my tendons in my left hamstring, just it was a freak accident in the gym. I was fatigued, I'd flown in from France that day of training. I just pushed the limits of the swimming too much and then basically tore it. And to cut a long story short, I was kind of out of running then for 3 years. So about 3 years, I went through rehab, went to various different sports doctors, and went to the SSC in Santee, and then was in with a guy, Aidan Woods, and PhD as well, and then was also training in Limerick. So that's where I finished in Chair Hartman's clinic in Limerick. And for anyone in the athletics world, he's renowned also in rugby and in other sports as well. So went down there, and himself and his protege, Kirkeen, they sort of ended up fixing me up. But I kind of wanted to get back into athletics to be at a really competitive level. I wanted to be on the 2012 4x4 Olympic team, but I could never get back to training every day at real high intensity because my leg wouldn't recover in time. So then my weights coach in Trinity, that's where I went to college, and that's where I used to train in the gym in there. He basically kind of tried to get me into weightlifting, so we were both kind of trying to see what other sports I could do. And he was like, "Hello, weightlifting." This was like 2011, when weightlifting was not exactly sexy. So I was coming from sprinting, and I was just, no one really does that. Do I need to be a big beast, and put on weight and lift massive weights on my head? And he was like, No. So he explained to me what Olympic weightlifting was, even though I'd always been doing some Olympic weightlifting in my training, some power cleans and some single arm snatch stuff. Then I started to get into Olympic weightlifting, and then I suppose the kind of competitive athlete in me, I started kind of liking it, and I was like, okay. So in 2012, I did my first competition in it. I did the Irish Championships and ended up winning my category, and then got selected for the Irish team, which at the time was tiny. Don't get me wrong, this wasn't an unbelievable feat. But was still delighted to be competitive and then to be able to go and compete internationally. So I got kind of more and more addicted to that. Peter Boland, he was brilliant for me. He was the coach at the time. The two of us actually we had both been kind of nerding it up and researching CrossFit as well, because being a 400-meter sprinter, you like to sort of kill yourself. It's that sort of training where every day, nearly almost every day, you'd come pretty dark in training. So
yeah.
CrossFit would be quite similar. yeah, so we got like the idea at the time. All those stupid videos were being released online, and CrossFit had a bad name really because all the videos that were going up were people doing movements with shocking technique, and we were kind of slating it. We were like, CrossFit is brilliant, and we were still doing it, and we were doing it, but doing it with perfect, as we call it, technique. but then CrossFit got bigger and bigger, and then better and better. And obviously, as you know yourself, if CrossFit is down to the coach, really, if it's coach right, it's one of the best things you can do.
Absolutely.
So that's how I got into CrossFit then, but stayed doing Olympic lifting on the side, and then moved on to Coach Kimmy Dowling. He was coaching me in Olympic lifting, and I was kind of doing CrossFit stuff myself, and with him and with others as well. Coaching-wise, I started off in the Coach of Athletics, the Coach of Skills, and in clubs. My old club was Chambalong Athletics Club, and then I moved into DSD, Dundrum State Trouble. And then I also ran for Trinity Athletics as well. So I was coaching in there as well a little bit, just with kind of sort of core work and a little bit of S&C work. And I was captain of the athletics team in Trinity as well, which was quite fun in that I got to live on campus for 2 years, which was
nice.
And then, yeah, coaching-wise, I kind of developed. I actually started working in Albury Sports with marketing. And they sort of developed a role for me in there, which was great. I was sort of like a brand ambassador. And I used to go around and sort of teach and do workouts and skills with kids. And I used to have about 130 kids or so in a session in just a big peen hall. The kind of thing where teachers were like, second grade, fight ball into the... Get the whole school in, and we'll bring them to it. But so we used to do that around the country, and from there I just realised that I loved coaching and I loved teaching. And the more I did of it, the more hooked I became. The more I did of that sort of work, the more people were asking me for training programs and to maybe take them for sessions. And then I realised, okay, maybe I should actually set up my own thing. So. Then I did. I set up my own studio out my back of my house. I turned my shed into a gym and took one-on-one clients and 2-on-1 clients. And from there, it built. And I started coaching CrossFit in CrossFit 353 on Bath Avenue. And from then, it just grew. And now I have my own place. And yeah, mad.
Nice. That's pretty good. I think there's some really interesting stuff there. I think... from even my own perspective, I think a lot of coaches, I think you've a fantastic experience level, and it resonates with me quite a lot. Whenever I'm talking to any newer coaches, or I see kind of up and coming coaches like that, and I would have done the same over the years, like working with boxing clubs, working with soccer clubs, working with hockey clubs, and like everybody would be asking you for advice and asking you for programs and help with this and this, and just I think having the like just kind of being okay with like, okay, I'll give you a bit of a hand, I might make a bit of a mistake here and there, but it's really interesting that when it comes back to, and I've worked a little bit with you in the last couple of weeks, like just at the level two, the CrossFit level two and stuff, and you're a fantastic coach, and it shows it shows the ease that you would work with the group because of the level of experience that you've built up. So that's really, really interesting to kind of take an eye on it. A bit of a random one. What are you really enjoying about life at the moment? As be it a coach or a business owner or a snow day inmate, the same as us.
At the moment, I think I'm just I'm happy. Like it's a luxury. I think to be happy now, and it's a luxury to have my own life, and it's just a delight, I suppose, to be able to do what I love and to have made that into my profession. But, you know, it kind of takes all as well at the same time. But when you know what you're good at, then, and when people, you know, encouraging you to have a good kind of circle around you, that just kind of, I suppose it just kind of manifests itself, and somehow I've gotten here, and I don't really know exactly how I've done it, but it happens. I'm just really happy that I have, that I'm where I am now at the moment, with my work and with my own place. I still do hours in 353, even though I've opened my own place, and I think it's a real testament to them that their box is so good that I wasn't just like, see ya, and like completely exactly, yeah. Like I was so happy there that I didn't want to leave. So I still do two shifts there a week just because
it's so good.
I love the place, and I'm still learning with them, and I'm still learning from all the members there as well. And then I can, you know, bring some of those good ideas into my place. And if there's ever any, you know, bad scenarios, then I won't do them in my place. But and then just I suppose I have a great family, I have a great boyfriend, so I need to give him a shout out. But yeah, like a really great circle of friends, and I'm lucky. I'm kind of, I feel like I'm almost a bit too lucky.
Yeah, I feel like a fraud. I'm like, what? Something's gonna go wrong. Yeah, no, that's fantastic. We'll change tack a little bit, and I suppose a bit more of the detailed kind of coaching stuff. And I know, I know the lads in 353, and you guys seem to have a lot of fun, a very relaxed kind of atmosphere, both in your place in Unit 1, and with the lads, and there's a good lot. I think, like you said there, CrossFit is a very different kind of a feeling these days to it. It is a lot more of a lighthearted, kind of fun and enjoyable type of an area to it.
Yeah.
Do you, on that kind of end, do you have a particular kind of favorite style of coaching? Or, I've seen this little snippet, I suppose, of your coaching kind of style, but for most people, are you a bit of a tyrant, or are you a more relaxed kind of gentle ear to a gentle person in someone's ear, just helping them out a little bit steadily and slowly?
Yeah.
Do you have a particular style, do you think?
Yeah, I do. It's funny when, you know, people ask, but kind of looking at it, I definitely do. I kind of go with the teacher approach. I'd say I probably got that from my mum and dad. They're both teachers. But you still have to say, I'm still people's friend. So having a crack is one of my number one things. I can't stand, you know, the really, really strict and, you know, really too methodical stuff. You need to kind of let it be flowy. You need to be relaxed, otherwise no one else will relax. So
yeah.
I think that's really important. I think personality is one of the number one things when it comes to a coach. You know, you can have the best program and you can have the best and great experience, but if you can't communicate with humans, then, you know, you're not going to be a great coach, well, in my opinion.
Yeah.
So my method, I suppose, would be, to be relaxed and have the crack. And let's say, I suppose, in a typical class environment, you know, we'd start off the warm-up, and that would be a real kind of relaxed and fun environment, and then slowly but surely I'd introduce the kind of more serious things. Okay, so this is like we're teeing up what we're going to do, and then that would be, I suppose, there is a switch from being, you know, having the crack and having a bit of a mess and chatting about going out at the weekend or whatever, and then suddenly it's, you know, it's into, so like I can go very strict teaching mode, so the lads can kind of take the piss out of me sometimes, but it's a very obvious, I suppose, transition, and it keeps the class just kind of working smoothly and working well. But within that, I'd obviously be dropping jokes here and there if I feel like, oh shit, I've kind of been a bit too serious for the last 2 minutes. I need to drop in a joke here and, you know, reassure them that this is okay.
Yeah.
I can definitely be relentless, I think. I could be a bit of a tyrant, but it's more just not putting up with shit. Still encouraging people. And I think, I remember my dad said to me years ago, about when he was teaching, you know, correct someone. So if that is, I suppose, a negative thing in their eyes, they're like, oh, they're correcting me, I'm shit, then follow up with a positive. So it's still fantastic. Yeah, your back is way better, like, but your knees are still coming in and you need to push your knees out more, or, you know, something like that. So I find that works well. And then it's not just within the class, it's outside the class as well. So it's your demeanor, it's your energy, and no matter how like shit a day you're having, you need to fake it. Like,
you gotta turn up.
I don't care if you're feeling nervous right now. You have to fake it, and you have to just pretend even that that you're in control. Yeah. And then people will put their trust in you. So
Yeah, cool. We'll move back a little bit towards your gym. So, was there a particular reason that motivated you to set up your own place in the recent past?
I suppose what kind of happened with me was I had set up my gym in my parents' house, so my mom and dad.
So you got kicked out, essentially.
I got evicted. They moved back to Donegal, and I knew it was a matter of time before I'd have to like stop working it from what I used to call it, the shed.
Yeah.
But so they were setting up the house, and myself and my dad were going around and looking at venues, and everything we looked at was like it wasn't suitable. It was too small. Yeah. It was way too big, and finally, we found these two empty, they were kind of sheds, like two empty fences, in behind Eddie Rockets and Turner. And I said to the lads in 353, and they had been at me for ages saying, well, what are you going to do? You need to open your own place, which was great because I was then never feeling like, I can't do this. Mm-hmm. You know, if your own, like, if your bosses essentially, if they're like, you need to do this, then that's great. Like, instantly, it's encouraging. And to know that people have trusted me to do it. So then even like my dad was like, yeah, you need to do this as well. And boys around my family, you know, everyone was like, you have to. Like, so any doubt that I had would kind of be deleted by their encouragement and their positivity. So kind of ended up going ahead with it then and met the landlord at the sheds, and then it just literally went from there. And that was last October of 2016, so that's a year and a half ago.
Nice.
And then, signed the lease at the end of December of 2016. So then I opened in March 2017. So on my 30th birthday, I opened Unit 1. And then, it's been nearly a year now there. So,
excellent.
Yeah.
Nice. What have you found? Has there been any particularly big challenges? Has it been like the self-doubt kind of orientation, or has it been the full logistics of like just getting people in the door kind of thing, or a bit of both?
Yeah, I know, like I was 100% confident it would be fine. Not at all. I literally had a mental breakdown the day that I was opening. I wouldn't have a clue about business stuff. Like, I didn't even do business for the junior search, let alone for the leave cert. Like, I did it in first year, and all I can remember is the ombudsman. My sister is an accountant, thank God, and my dad is very business orientated as well, so they were kind of helping me change. But I suppose going in blind and naive, I was just like, I don't care, like, I don't know what the builder's talking about. He's like, yeah, we need X, Y, Z, and I'm like, cool, don't know what that means, but if you do, grand.
You make it work.
I was just, I think the biggest challenge was just the self-doubt, and the biggest challenge was trying to, I suppose, swallow my pride and be like, I don't know what I'm doing, like, will you help me kind of thing. So that was with, I suppose, my dad really helped me, Peter Burke and Gary from 353, they really helped me. Paul Oppenman, he is a good friend of mine and a physio in, he has his own physio place, the Dublin Sports Clinic in town. He's a spiritual as well. He had just opened his place in town, so he was like, here is the builder, this is like, because it's him, and I actually, my builder is a friend of mine as well, so that was brilliant.
Nice.
And then I had one of my clients is an architect, and he was absolutely brilliant for advice as well. And I just have this, I'm part of the Terranier Business Network as well.
Love it.
So, so that network, they were literally, like, feeding people and, like, giving me so much advice on everything and really encouraging me to do it. So it's still surrounding yourself with people and just swallowing your pride and just asking, you know, for help was great. But at the same time, I did feel very alone when I was doing it.
Yeah.
Because I didn't have a partner opening it. Everything was still on me. So that was quite hard. And I wouldn't, even though I was asking for people for help, I probably wouldn't be the person to accept that I So that was a big challenge. And then the biggest thing of it all was when I thought the 3 weeks leading up to it, we were flat out, as you know yourself, if you open it,
yeah,
like you're kind of you're flat to the board and you kind of think you're Superman. Like, so I thought I was Superwoman. I was in, you know, painting, getting things organized, and trying to set up the app. And like in my head, everyone's like, so how are the glasses going to run? Or, you know, are you going to do glasses? Or it's just going to be DT? And in my head, I'm like, I don't know.
So we'll move a little bit, I suppose, move back towards some of your injuries and how. So like at the moment, I suppose you would have been playing and training at a very, very high level. Like, is you're aiming for the 4x4s at the Olympics, and it's pretty serious kind of territory. And it's a huge level of dedication, and to come from that, going through a pretty severe injury, did you find it very, very difficult to come out to change over from that, or did you find weightlifting kind of quickly enough, and that kind of filled the gap a little bit, and then made it a bit easier to go, or to stay kind of involved and stay motivated, or was there pretty challenging kind of rough times when you were dealing with the injuries, or did you have, like that you said, you had a few different people, friends wise, who were really good physios and stuff. Was there any areas there that you?
There were dark times, like, definitely. It was really challenging, I suppose. I was 21, I think, when it happened in 2008. So basically everything I had done since I was a kid, you know, I've known to do it, like my family, my friends, my parents' friends, they're like, oh yeah, little runners like you. And it's very much like that in athletics as well. If you're kind of good, people know, and the people are really interested, so it's great. But, I was good, but I wasn't like, you know, unbelievable. I wasn't like winning Olympic or European medals or anything. I was training, or I was competing a bit internationally, and like 4x4 100-meter team would have been the most I would have done. I doubt I would have qualified as an individual, really. But yeah, the training was intense. It was every day. It was twice a day a lot of the time. I was based in Trinity, a bit in the track in Irishtown. And then suddenly when you get injured, and like all my circle of friends are like the athletics club in Trinity, the athletics club outside of Trinity. Then when that's suddenly kind of taken away, I couldn't even walk properly, like, you know, for a couple of months. That was just like, it's so debilitating, and you see it all the time in different sports and rugby and everything as well. It's kind of a real question of like, oh shit, like suddenly your identity is almost taken. I know it's like going real deep and dark and whatever, but
very true though.
It kind of was. I definitely did feel a bit of shite, like, and people consistently ask you, and they're just being sane, like, you know, how's the injury and how's everything going? And then like a year and a half later, I'm still answering these questions, and I'm still not going to the races because I was obviously helping out, I was heavily involved. You kind of feel like a letdown. You kind of, like, and you think that everyone is obsessed with your injury, and they're not. Nobody really cares. And like, I'm just like, oh my god, like, I'm still injured. People are gonna be asking and all this, but there were some really dark times. Like, I remember, like crying and like going to physios and going through this monotonous rehab. Like, when I came back, when I was coming back, I had to go, you know, like, the treadmill for 1 hour, the pool for 1 hour, the cross trainer for, like, my rehab was up to 3 hours a day, and some of the stuff that I was doing, like, 2.5 hours, like, 3 hours. And to do that without seeing a final, like, a finish line, you know, like, no one could tell me you actually are going to be able to run again. So in my head, I was like, there's not even a light at the end of the tunnel, why am I even doing this? But, like, that kind of went on for, like, over 2 years. And then the final year was kind of getting back into running, and that was Derek Keane down in Limerick. I'll never forget when I met him. In my head at this stage, I was like, I just want to be able to move. I want to be able to, you know, go for a jog. I want to be able to, like, play with my nephews or my kids later in life. Like, so he just said to me, he was like, look, this has just become chronic. And he was like, just stop stressing about it, and I'm just going to tell you what to do. And as an athlete, that's just so nice, and especially in athletics, because you're an individual. For someone else to take the problem, that was a big deal for me. So that, that he was like, look, I'm going to deal with this now, and I'm just going to tell you what to do. And that's everyone in life, I think. You know, we never really grow up. Like, you still always want to be told what to do. And it's the same. We see it all the time as coaches. People will do as they're told, and they want guidance, and they want encouragement. And when I got that from him, that was a big kind of turning point. And then I got back into running. I got back into doing kind of 800s and 400s, but as I said, it wasn't good enough, and I couldn't recover in time. But it was just the repetitive impact on my legs. But with weightlifting, it was completely fine. And during that time, I was able to get ridiculously strong in the gym. So my weights coach was like, shit, like, you actually could be really good at crossing at weightlifting. And then it went from there, and I was like, amazing. So we were kind of thinking of, like, oh, maybe cycling or rowing. And I was like, oh, I hate the sea. I hate being in water and being cold. I can't handle the cold. So weightlifting was great. It was indoors. And I always loved strength work. I mean, I always loved gym work. So, yeah.
Awesome. Well, you've actually, like, that was the next kind of couple of questions I was actually going to ask you. Was what would your, like, did you get any particular really good advice from any previous coaches regarding the injuries, and would you have any advice for people or athletes dealing with injury at the moment? Like, the from a coaching point of view, I think I'm sure you'll agree that it takes a good bit of patience, but like that, it takes compassion to really take, like, add in your own ownership level to their injury, and like making sure that you can stay as a team rather than just like, okay, well, look, this happened to you, I can try and kind of sort of help you, but you're kind of on your own. Like, that's not what really an athlete or a person needs to hear. They want to find really, really good solace and find good support. Was there anything in particular that you found, like, other than the likes of Jerry Keane down in Limerick, that helped you just stay on track and stay motivated? Was it your family? Was it just the love of the game? What do you think?
It was definitely Jerry Keane, and for me, it was sticking to the plan, like, that he'd given me. We both kind of put together this kind of hamstring rehab thing, and we both kind of worked on it, and he still uses that program now with the Kerry football team and stuff if they ever have hamstring issues. And that kind of structure of keeping myself and having someone to report to, that was key. Like, that was really, really crucial for me, because otherwise I would have just fallen off. With my family, they were brilliant. Like, my dad would drive me down to Limerick, like, all the time, and he was absolutely brilliant. My mum was so good. I'd be the type of person that I'd go quite quiet, like, or just I wouldn't talk about things if they're at me, because I'd be like, oh, starting from here, don't want to be like, oh, I'm like depressed, which is the thing. But I when I would talk to them, then they would really, really help me, and I'd always feel better. So I think, talking to people about it is really important, but also doing something about it. So stop just letting this thing fester. Like, you need to do something about it, and talk to your coach, and they will be able to, they should be able to, every coach should know a good physio or a good physical therapist and a good physiotherapist. Physical therapy was the best thing that worked for me in the end, physical therapy. And now, like, Paul in Dublin Sports Clinic, he himself and Philip Allwright in 353, he's a physical therapist as well. The two of them are my physical therapists, and they keep me taken over every week. I go to them, like, every week or every second week. And I would say, like, that definitely does really help. With regards to my own clients and members, I would just always say to still go to the gym. Don't just stop doing exercise as soon as something happens. So, don't just start doing something because you suddenly you suddenly gotten injured. Like, you can always, so people are like, oh, yeah, I injured my shoulder, so I'll see you in like 4 months. And I'm like, yeah, but your legs still work. Like, what are you talking about?
There's a lot of other stuff to do, exactly.
Yeah, exactly. What happened to your legs? So I would still always like encourage them to come in. And that goes for everybody. And it's your coach's job to be able to scale whatever the workout is around your injury or around your niggles. Mm-hmm. They can advise you and give you little things to do to help. Mm-hmm. But like, most coaches aren't sports doctors or sports physios. So they're not going to be able to cure you. And a lot of people think that they can. They're like, yeah, so fix me. And you're like, I'm not qualified in this, I can advise you, but I would say go to a professional, ask your coach for help, and still always train. And eating, like, nutrition is a massive part of it as well. People don't realize. I still kept my diet really clean if I was injured, because when you eat badly, you're completely inflaming your body, and you're inflaming the injury even more. And then sleep as well would be a big thing.
I think that's, exactly. I think the big one, if the takeaway from there is that, and like you said, with some fantastic protocols that would be implemented by Jerry Kane with the Kerry footballers and stuff like that, but from a kind of a gym coach or a general member kind of a thing, it's making sure that you have that little bit of a team to support you, and also not just an individual person team, but also the actual, like, that your sleep, your food, your environment. You're trying to shape it as positively as you can to make sure that you can get back as quickly as possible to a good level of health. I think that's exactly it. I think that's one of the reasons why over the last number of years, and I've been involved in CrossFit for a long time, but from a background of different sports, there's sometimes a reticence to focus on all of the holistic sense of it, but it definitely has in the last number of years. Like, there's a lot more, I think it's because of the infiltration of a lot more general lessons strength and conditioning coaches or people from different sports have come in and added their expertise to it. So there's a much bigger, a much better breaking down of barriers, so everyone can get really, really good information to help them.
Well, I also think of it as like, when you're training, you know, you're eating so well, you're resting well, you're recovering well, you surround yourself in positive vibes, and then suddenly when something really bad happens, you get injured, people just suddenly switch off all those other things. Like, oh, I'm injured now, like, let's just like delete all these things. And it's like, no, that's when you should be increasing those things and doing that even better.
You gotta double down on it, exactly.
And that goes for the general public as well, you know, not just for athletes.
Absolutely. We'll combine a couple of other questions now. Do you have any particular favorite coaches? Either current coaches or previous kind of mentors and coaches back in the day, and any particular reason why?
Yeah, I think every coach I've had, I've learned so much from. Mm-hmm. And that's like from when I was a kid, from athletics. My very first coach was Stephen Holt in Templeogue, and he was kind of like a father figure / grandfather figure, real old school coaching methods in athletics. Really kind of hardcore, like I was sprinting up hills with weights around my ankles when I was like, you know, 13 kind of thing. Like, but unbelievable stuff, like stuff that I learned so much from. And then I moved on to Jim Kidd. He's from Scotland, but he was based in Dublin. He's a Dundrum Safe Dublin coach, and he was David Gillick's first coach and everything as well when he won the European gold. And Jim was brilliant. Now, that was more of a kind of, Stephen Holt was more like a one-on-one thing. It was a very personal relationship, and he really grew me as a kid till I was 19. And then I moved on to Jim Kidd, and that was more of a group environment. And it was really interesting to see how he programmed for a group, and how he managed the group, and how he encouraged us all. And it was very much more kind of, I'm going to give you guys more responsibility now, which was key. And then my I suppose biggest person for me in strength wise was Caroline Royce. She was the first person that I did weights with. She was based in Wicklow, and she's from the UK. She was a mother of six, and she was in her, I don't even know what age she was, I think she was only in her 40s. And she was the strongest woman, potentially the strongest person I'd ever met, and that had massive resonance with me. When I saw what she could do after having kids and how much knowledge she has and how she dealt with people and how she coached people, I think I got a lot of inspiration from her. And she would still, she'd give us a training program, a weight training program specific for athletics. She would follow up with us. She'd keep in contact with us. Everything that, you know, that a coach should do. And it was, she was my first female coach as well, I suppose. And she just showed me that, I suppose, like, you know, that girls can be strong. She was just like really encouraging. She was like, she's like, Claire, you're strong. Like, and I was like, okay, am I? She's absolutely brilliant. Some of my crazy core exercises and stuff. And
still for her.
Like, yeah, just really, really massive core strength kind of base she has. And that's always been my sort of my basis. Like, you know, if you've got a weak core, you've got zero foundation. So she was like really fed that in with me. And then from then, I had Peter Boland. He was in Trinity. Absolutely mad. Guy and absolutely brilliant. Gave me loads of insight into strength work, strength conditioning, the power lifts, the Olympic lifts, and then from him moved on to Sammy Dowling. I think you did a podcast with him before.
Yeah, Sammy's good.
Sammy then was, he was really my specific Olympic lifting coach. Learned so much from him as well. And then now I'm kind of working in with by myself really, Peter Tierney. He was just a fellow athlete and real and a big lifting geek. So all of them, you know, you learn a lot from them all. My dad kind of used to coach me as well when I was a kid a little bit, but he's just more the mindset of like, just do, like, just get on with it. Brute strength. Like, so I think that's what I got was from him.
Not too bad, nice.
They're all the kind of personal people, but then obviously I take stuff from, you know, international coaches and stuff like that as well. Always kind of reading on things and and from athletics and from weightlifting and CrossFit.
Nice. And I know, like, I would have done, we completed the level 2 there a couple of weeks back, as well as a few other characters. Do you have another next coaching step that you're looking at going towards? Is it down the weightlifting route, or is it a little bit more S&C, or is it just building as a business owner, more so yourself?
I definitely, like, the worst thing you can do is stop learning, I suppose. And because this industry is, sort of progressing all the time, like, you have to stay on top. Like, you can't just be left behind, you know. I'd love to do the level 3 CrossFit course. I would like to do more weightlifting as well. Weightlifting now is kind of more about, you know, more and more experience, going to more seminars. Wouldn't mind doing some of the, like, OPEX courses as well. Also looking at, potentially doing a gymnastics thing. I'm actually really obsessed with gymnastics at the moment. I can't stop looking at gymnastics videos. And I did ballet for years when I was a kid, from when I was 3 until I was 13. And a bit of gymnastics then as well. So that really, ballet and gymnastics are two really important sort of exercises, because you're building, really building on your core and your flexibility and your inner strength. And that's really stood to me for since when I was a kid. Potentially an AL gymnastics course as well.
Excellent, good stuff. I haven't done this before, but I'm gonna test drive it on yourself if I can, Claire. We do a little quick fire round. These are three kind of randomish questions. See what the crack is. If you had two things to on a desert island, what would your essentials be? So two things you could bring to you got shipwrecked, you got two things, you're like happy days. What have you got?
Oh, Christ.
Can
I bring people?
Potentially, yeah. No food, no CDs, no nothing.
She's like, hey, you can't desert island. I'd be on my own, I'd be unhappy. You have to be surrounded by people.
Absolutely, absolutely. Second thing, favourite place in the world?
my Rathmullen, that's where my parents are from, where my older sister lives. My nephews are there.
Nice.
Right by the sea. It's beautiful.
Savage. Funniest person you know?
Oh, feck.
The boyfriend's going to go crazy if you don't say it.
Yeah, at the moment it's probably Siobhan O'Neill. Do you know Siobhan?
Oh, yeah, Siobhan is fantastic.
Yeah, she's like Barbell Fit on Instagram. Go give her a follow. she's insane. She, at the moment,
it's a great character.
Whenever we're together, it's that kind of, it's that kind of laughter where it's like slide on laughter and you're almost kissing your pants. Kind of thing.
Yeah, it's just messers.
So, yeah, at the moment, yeah.
Nice. Well, Claire, it's been. We're gonna leave it at that. If that's okay with you. It's been fantastic chatting to you, and some really, really interesting stuff. In there, you've had a roller coaster, and it looks like it's keep on going, which is good.
Cheers, Paul.
Cool. Well, I'll link up where we can find you on the interwebs, on the show notes and stuff.
Yeah.
And the best of luck with your place, Unit 1, and the same, say hello to the lads in 353. They're a great bunch up there. So thanks again for joining me.
All right, thanks, Bill, for it.
No worries at all. No problem. Cool.
All right.